John chapter 4, and as you're turning there, I want to bring you up to speed on something that has been occurring in South Africa, in Cape Town, and I think this will help us to see missions in a light that we hadn't seen it often. The city of Cape Town right now in South Africa, where God has called us, is going through a major season of drought. They have had drought for about 3 years now, and over the last few months, it has been stated that there will come a point where Cape Town will run out of water completely. In fact, they have been calling that day in which they'll run out day zero. It was anticipated for April, so they would have been right on the verge of it today, possibly had already experienced it maybe in just a couple of days from now. That was then postponed to June, then July, then August. Now they're saying it won't happen at all. It might happen next year. Depends on how the rain comes. And they will receive rain, but it won't be enough, typically, unless God does a miraculous work there, which is definitely possible. God could do that. But the reality is they're out of water. And so right now, Cape Town is experiencing something that no city currently, because they are further along down this path than any other city in the world. There are cities that are struggling, but they are further along right now because they're about to shut their water off. So they have been experiencing major shortages, and therefore they have been looking at the restrictions that have to be placed. And so I believe it was sometime last summer or even up into September, the city declared, you can no longer use municipal water outside your home. So that means you cannot water your grass or wash your car. Anything outside the home, you're done. You can't use your water. Everything has to be inside your home. Well, sometime later, I don't recall the exact dates. I believe it was after January, maybe February. They went ahead and restricted your indoor water use to about 23 gallons per person per day. And so that's for everything. That's for your laundry, bathing, toilet, dishes, drinking water, everything. Okay? Every use, you get 23 gallons per day, per person in your family. And that has been a major struggle. Well, then they restricted it further to 13. By June, it will be 6. 6 gallons of water per person per day for all water use. Now, I know that there will be some that will conserve. If they don't need it all on the first day, they'll conserve it and they'll have a little more for the second day. I understand that. But these are very difficult times for the people here in Cape Town. And this has been an increasing burden with our co-workers who are there and for us as well, because when we go to Cape Town, we are trusting that God will have supplied the city with water. We need water to survive. And so we don't know all that God is doing there. But as I think about this, situation, it brings to mind this passage in John chapter 4. And I don't want to read the entire passage. I just want to pull out some highlights here from it and really just challenge you, because the situation that I am describing in Cape Town currently, and I'll make some application to that spiritually, is the same situation we are facing right here in the United States and anywhere you can put your finger on a globe and point to anywhere in the world. And really the same spiritual dynamic is happening all over this world. So I want to take it from this passage from that perspective and look at that and really help us to see maybe a little bit differently on the issue of water. And I trust that as you take your next drink of water, that it will really just remind us to not only just take these things into consideration, but also to pray for the city of Cape Town and for us as well. Well, let me begin here, just the beginning of the chapter, and I want to look here at just a couple of things specifically. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." And I find it very interesting that Jesus recognized he had to go to Samaria. There was a need there, and he was going to meet that need. But just this point thing, and as I think about this passage, you know, I wonder, was this, as he gets there, and we read in those next few verses, and I won't read them for sake of time, but he meets there, outside of a city of Samaria, by a well, Jacob's well, he meets a woman who is coming out in the midday heat, and he speaks with her. And I wonder, in many ways, is this just a chance meeting? He just happened to be there at the right time as she was coming out. It was just a coincidence. Or was it a divine appointment? In other words, was this something that God recognized she was going to be there at that specific time? And Jesus, of course, as the Son of God, knew that, but he left at just the right time. He went at just the right pace walking to make sure that he was there when she was there. In other words, there was no coincidence. It was God ordained. It was something that God put together. And I wonder about that because, you know, so often as we look at the situation around us and the people that we meet from day to day, so often we think it's just a coincidence. And I wonder, maybe they are coincidences, but I don't think so. I think God is actually working to put us at just the right place, at just the right time, to meet that specific person because there's something that we need to say or do to meet a need in that life. And I think about Cape Town and these people. You know, God's called us there. And I would love to go there tomorrow. If somebody were to arrange to get us there tomorrow, we could pack our bags and fly out tomorrow. I would go in a heartbeat. I would probably not be able to survive very long because we don't have enough support yet. But, you know, the idea being, I would go. That's my heart. That's what we want to. But, you know, God is working out the timing to get us there at just the right time. And that has been a challenge to me as I look at these things. While I would prefer to go very quickly, God knows the exact point in which I need to be there. But you realize this, God knows daily where I need to be. And He knows daily where you need to be. And God is working to put you in a place at just the right time to meet that specific person. Because you're the only one who can meet the need at that time. Or say the right thing at that time, whatever it may be. I don't believe that this was a coincidence. I believe Jesus knowing, and I can see that right there where it says, he must needs go through Samaria. He knew he had to go. He had to meet that woman. Well, here is the conversation begins and Jesus asks her for a drink and she begins to think, and speak on the level of physical water. She doesn't realize that Jesus is using this picture of water as an illustration and as a tool to turn the conversation to spiritual things. And so Jesus then addresses her need in verse number 10 as she opens up to him about this water. He says to her in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This woman is at the well, midday. We realize that she is a woman that is likely shunned. She is not coming at the normal time that women would come to draw water. There are so many things that we could draw out of this passage, but the reality is her whole mindset, and you'll see this as you go through the passage, her whole mindset is about the water that's inside that well. Physical water, the water that she is going to be using for that day, whether it be to cook or to clean or to drink, whatever, her mind is all on that water. Jesus turns that conversation and introduces, hey, wait a minute, there's a different kind of water. There is physical water and there is living water. She doesn't get it. She continues to speak on the level of physical water. Again, in verse 11, she draws attention to the fact that he has no tool by which, no bucket or which to draw from the well. And so she doesn't understand this living water. Where are you going to get living water? You don't have a bucket. You don't have any way to get the water. How are you going to get living water? He's not talking physical water. Jesus, in verse 13, makes a clear delineation and says, here's how it is. Whosoever, verse 13, Jesus answered, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water that's in the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He says, I'm not talking about that water. I'm talking about a water that is spiritual, that's eternal. A water that will satisfy your very soul, not your parched tongue. A water that will satisfy your deepest need and longing. A water that if you taste, you'll never thirst again. As I read these verses that Jesus is speaking, and I read these verses, and I think about what's going on in Cape Town. What do you think right now their whole mindset is? It's about physical water. They are talking about if day zero ever does occur, and it may next year, basically what's going to happen is everybody's taps will be turned off. You go to the sink, you turn the faucet, no water. You go to the tub, you try to take a shower, no water. They will have to go to a public spigot of sorts and draw from that water and take their allotment home and use it like that. They will always have to come back. And see, that's the picture. This lady has to keep coming back for more water. Every day, she's coming back for water. She's coming back for water. These people in Cape Town, that's their thoughts. They're coming back for water. They're looking for something to satisfy their physical thirst. What they don't realize is their physical thirst, in this case, is just simply an illustration of the deeper spiritual thirst, of the deeper longings. And Jesus is willing to meet that need. And I find it very interesting, the correlation between Cape Town and this passage. And so what the challenge really is, twofold, and I just want to look at one other verse here before we conclude, but it's twofold, really. You know, there are people around us, right here. Point your finger at a globe on a map. There are people there. They are thirsty. I am from Michigan. And this is my first time to Arizona, to the desert. I'm learning to carry water. People get thirsty. But people are thirsty inwardly, spiritually. And nothing that they try. They try this, they try that. It may be drugs, alcohol, it could be religion, it could be family, whatever. None of it satisfies. But if they'll taste of living water, they'll never thirst again. And that really, I could sit there and I could say, well, that works for Cape Town. It works for right here. It works in Michigan and in Europe. People are thirsty. Just one last thought. I'm not even going to really develop the thought here. But may I remind you of the disciples. Disciples go into the city. They're in the marketplace. They're there to buy food. They come out of the marketplace with food. Jesus, eat. This is the end of the conversation with the woman. Here, Jesus, here's food. Eat. He says, I've already eaten. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Then Jesus says to them in verse 35, say not ye there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Here's a different picture. Jesus is not using that illustration of water. He's using a picture of a field with ripened grain. Now, I grew up on a farm. This makes sense to me. This is just a vivid picture. All right. But the idea is this. The woman goes into the city. She goes to the exact same place that these disciples had just been. When the disciples come out, they come out with food, and there's 12 of them. She goes in and comes out, and she brings a multitude with her. Just the application is simple. Look for the opportunity. They're all around us. You never know where God is bringing you. Those divine appointments, they had ample opportunity to simply share, hey, Jesus is out of the well. We are the disciples of Jesus, the Messiah. You should come and meet him. They had all kinds of opportunity. The Bible records nothing. She goes in, she says, hey, you need to come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? It must be. So she takes off walking out to the well, and she gets a crowd of men to follow her. And I look at this and I see, you know, there are opportunities all around us. Jesus took the opportunity that was presented him, that he was there at the well at the right time. But there are opportunities all around us as well. And so let's not forget those times of opportunity, because people are thirsting all around us. They need living water. Pastor Gradwell, I'm going to turn it over to you.